Hey, it's Jordan Johnson, and you are listening to the Grove Podcast. Today, we're giving you part two of our February Grove Gathering. If you tuned into last week's episode or you joined us online for the Grove this month, we got to hear a powerful and practical talk from our friend Hannah Brencher called Fighting Forward, and you'll definitely want to make sure you hear that first so you'll have all the context for today's episode. Today's conversation was recorded right after Hannah's talk, as Shelly Giglio sits down with Hannah and several other Grove women as they share and unpack the personal elements they gleaned from Hannah's talk that evening, as well as what they're fighting for in their own lives today. It's honest and helpful, and we know you'll love it. So here is Shelly Giglio with Hannah Brencher, Brittany West, Kara Diba, and Daniele Flickinger.
I love this moment almost as much as any of them. Hannah, you just gave the most incredible talk. Yes. It was absolutely unreal and so practical. And it felt so helpful, and it was inspirational, which was amazing. But the practicality of it is the part that we're going to carry with us. So we thought we would just join together for a second as friends who know each other and talk about what we took away, as well as the things that we're practicing in our own lives that are bringing life to us in these days. And so this is my friend Kara and Brittany. Yeah. This is Daniele. And of course, you know, Hannah. And I love that we can be together. So Hannah, when you were writing this talk, you said to me as you walked in that it was kind of a download from God to you.
Wow.
It felt like you were preparing, but actually he was just handing something to you. Talk about that process a little bit of hearing from God.
Yeah, you know, it started with... I knew I had to start preparation, and I'm a disciplined person, so I have certain hours allotted. And I was going to bed the moment I knew that, like, I was doing this talk, and God gave me that part about anointing the head with oil.
Wow. Yeah.
So I sat down at my desk the next morning to start research and preparing. I started with that one thread, and I pulled, and basically the whole thing came out. And like, it came out so quickly that I'm like, well, how do I prepare for the rest of this?
Yeah.
But I was joking with people that like, I even tried to tweak some things, but it ended up being the original download. And that's how you know that like, God is speaking something through you, and that you're just really an instrument for him to get it through.
Yeah,
is that, that it all just came out effortlessly, and it flowed, and the only thing that's left is to be obedient and to show up.
Yeah. Nice. Well, it reminds me in Psalm 119 too, it says your word's a light to our path. Mm-hmm. And it feels like that what we're trying to do is follow Jesus. So we're always looking for the light.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, your saturation in the word, like you spoke about day after day after day, then allows you to see the light.
Yeah.
And then when you move toward the light, then God's like,
that's
here's
exactly
what
right.
you're looking for.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I am light.
Yeah.
I'm the light of the world.
And we know
you,
Hannah, you talked about this today, that we can't be intimidated by a big talk to write, but to pull on one thread, like that was your small step.
Small steps,
I was thinking so much about that exact reference today that, and what you're saying, spending time in the word is where we have to keep going back, because the word, yes, is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path, but we got to light the lamp.
Yeah.
And
right.
so like, we have to just keep coming back day after day. So thank you for starting that with that one step and thread. That's what I'm fighting for right now. I'm kind of the worst case scenario six. So I think through all the reasons I shouldn't start or that it's not right to start.
Right.
And I just try to think of my friend Hannah's words and just start.
Yeah.
Light the lamp.
I would say that too comes just from a place of recognizing too that that is not a new space for you, right? Like that you live in that intimacy. And so that is a daily confession. It's a daily affirmation. It's a daily chastening to meet him almost from that Genesis context in the garden in the cool of the day. Like that set time, that appointed opportunity to do that. That's something I'm very intentional about that I have to do for where I am in life right now, for just for my intimacy with him, to just fight for the opportunity to get into his presence. And so when you do that, I think threads then start to illuminate themselves differently, and it becomes an opportunity to really just lean into whatever that opportunity or whatever that word is at that time.
One thing I've read about that very verse is that his word is a light, lamp to our feet, because it's about each step, which has a lot to do with what you said. We don't need the whole path illuminated, but each step we take, he gives us just enough light to see.
Yeah.
I love when you talk about The collection of small things actually form the big things.
That's it. That's the way you build a faithful life.
Exactly. Yeah. And you are so good about that.
Well, it's the only way that I think people want to be faithful, but they don't want to take steps toward faithfulness.
Oh, that's a word.
So everybody wants to end up where I get to heaven and Jesus welcomes me home and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. We're all in our minds thinking that's the goal.
Yeah.
Yet when we come back to today, we have to figure out, well, how am I going to get to the goal?
Yeah.
And I think that's where, Hannah, your stuff is so practical because it takes it from some ethereal by and by, this is going to happen in time. Mm-hmm. And it takes it back to what are you doing about it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What steps are you taking to be obedient today? And I've watched you take a huge step of obedience this past year.
Yes.
And walked alongside you as you were doing that, which has been amazing.
Yes.
And you went from sort of... from knowing something because you know the voice of God. So I want you to talk about how you knew it was God.
Yeah.
And then I wanted you to talk about the obedience that it took to take the step in faith.
So I love this story. One, because all my people who are part of the story are actually here today. So I was at a worship night, what would have been a year ago, February of last year, with Sean Curran, who...
he's all right.
Listen, he does what he can.
Yeah, we're trying.
And so he's leading alongside Cody Carnes, and it was just very evident. And again, it's that intimacy. It's that this thought is separate from something I think for myself. Mm-hmm. And so what I heard was that I had to walk away from my full-time job. Almost what felt like immediately. I had been there for 15 years, and so it was very abstract. I've always been a career woman, you know, even though
very good at
mom
it too.
Two, wife two. So it was just very strange. Mm-hmm. And that was all I got. So I touched base with Shelley, and I'm like, hey, I just really need to work this out with some practical wisdom, right? And I sit in front of her, and just real prophetically, she just looks at me and goes, yeah, you got to do that. And I'm like, all right.
Surely I said
something better than that. I don't know.
And I was like, well, here we go, right? Here we go. And so that all culminated all through 2020, through the pandemic, which did not make any sense. So now sitting in a time of where I still don't technically have all the answers.
Yeah.
I just did what I was asked to do in faith. And so when you talk about hearing the voice of the Lord, you know, I felt in my heart that this was him asking me to do it. I knew it because it was a thought that I probably wouldn't have created on my own. I did still seek wisdom, right? And if that was something that would be, if that sounded like something that was on track for my life. And you have to be careful when you do that because you can't just sit in front of anyone. They need to be people who you know to practice the presence of God and understand that. And so with that confirmation and with each step, I had this overwhelming peace. And, you know, the Bible talks about peace that surpasses your understanding. It was guarding my heart and my mind from the evil thoughts of I'm going to ruin my family. I'm not equipped to just be at home with my children. Yeah. All of the things I could have factored up as the reasons why not. And I leaned in and I trusted. It is still a trust journey, probably about 6 months in now.
And you said, you know, I don't know how it's all going to play out. I just thought to myself as you were saying that, I don't either.
Yeah.
I still don't know.
Yeah.
And I think there's a...
I think we said that then when
we
were talking.
There's a certain, I think... understanding sometimes in life that we expect that at some point I will understand. And
well,
I don't know. I think maybe it may be in eternity we will see how the choices and consequences of our actions added up to something really beautiful. But on this side, will we ever really know what our obedience pays for? Or are we just asked to be obedient nonetheless?
We are.
Right. And are we going to let that be enough?
Yeah, that's the thing. Do we need to be instantly rewarded like Hannah was talking about? Good job. Way to go. You did the right thing. Or do we just need to keep doing the right thing?
But isn't God so kind to let us see some of that fruit though as well? Like I think about the way you write, Hannah, about when you do show up, you never know who you're showing up for. Yeah. And the same can be applied to when you do speak truth, you never know who you're speaking it for. When you do obey, you never know who you're obeying for. And I think about your kids at home.
Yeah.
I think about Zoe and Layla and them remembering, they're 5 and 6 now.
So they're old enough.
They can remember. Remember when mom was home for like a while?
Yeah.
And then like God took her back to work or whatever ends up happening. We can trust that he's before this and he's behind it and he's going to be with whatever he's planning, and that gives me so much faith.
One of the things that I am would say that I'm fighting for is for harmony.
Yeah.
And Shelley, you
that's
always
from God for sure.
Yeah.
But I think when we talk about harmony, we always think about being in harmony with people.
Yeah.
I am actually thinking about it in a different way. You remember when we talk about balance?
Yeah.
And Shelley always talks about like how balance is not really always possible, because balance, the idea of balance actually means equal parts. And harmony actually means a combination of pleasing parts, a pleasing combination.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So I am a mom like you, and I've always struggled with how much do I give at my house? How much do I give at work? Because I do work and I will love to work. And that's a piece of me that I had to battle with God and find truth in what he wanted me to do. But yes, you might be more at home and work a little bit or serve a little bit in this season, or you're going to some moms, they have to work and they work a lot more than their home. But as long as the parts are a pleasing combination, to God and to you, you have peace.
You know, that's so good too, because I think the idea with something like that is, oh, well, great, then that must mean you had everything figured out, where your husband would be taking care of everything and everything was set in place and, oh, it's all good. And it's like, no, a lot of that too is the faith to believe that, to your point, the harmony will settle itself, or that peace will start to settle and give you exactly what you need because you were obedient.
That's great.
And then the idea is that, again, we may not know the full of that, but I mean, when I tell you the season that I'm in right now, I do not understand, but I am at peace.
Yeah. And just going back to what she was talking about, it's the mundane and the showing up and so many days not knowing why, but remaining there. And then you have a season where you see revelation and light and you move forward a little quicker, but then you stop again. But if you feel like you were always going forward, and you're moving, there's so much power in that.
Talk about, because in the title you mentioned that the word fight. And fight implies that it doesn't come easily. Fight implies that it takes participation on our part.
That's good.
And that it isn't just something that's handed to you.
Yeah.
And I think you spoke about that today, but I also feel like we need to help us change our expectation of what's required to actually live in the peace that we're talking about.
That's good.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I feel like all of life a lot of times feels like a fight, and that's just part of it. That's not a bad thing. It just means that, like, we were never called into a life of, like, ease, you know? Right. And we can still have peace and be in a fight. But when it came to this idea of, like, fighting forward, which I found was, like, in my language all along without even realizing it, it's so true to the moment that we're in of, it doesn't feel like walking forward all the time. Definitely doesn't feel like sprinting forward. Sometimes doesn't even feel like trudging forward. Like a lot of times it feels like a fight and that's okay. And God meets us in that and he fights on our behalf. But like, you know, just deciding, okay, like I'm in this fight and like maybe scars and bruises and all the things that happen in a fight, like maybe that's not the worst thing, but they're proof that we showed up, that we were here, that we lived, you know?
Yeah. So good. I've watched Danielle, I've watched you over a long time fight for health, wellness, well-being, restoration for your own life, for your family. And I've watched God bring you into a new pasture of like beauty and I think fruit. From that life of fight. Talk a little bit about just what that's felt like in you and how some practical ways you've really taken ground.
Definitely. Yes, life has been a fight. It's a different, better season now, like you're saying. But I love, I read your book, number one. I love your book, and I think
we love this
so
book.
So
I loved
beautiful.
It so much that I wrote some words.
You wrote it and you kicked it off.
It's so beautiful. And I think it's helpful. What I love the most about it, and I'll get into your point, Shelley, is that it's rooted in the word. You know, you're not just another voice giving us tips. You're talking about all of this, all this practicality rooted in the truth.
So,
and
yeah,
John 8:31-32, we hear it all the time. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Wow.
If you abide in my word.
Mm-hmm.
And Shelley, honestly, I think for me, it's number one, the kindness of God finding me.
Hmm.
I am a broken person. I come from a broken family. I was very unhealthy in so many ways because of that. I believe that our circumstances, yes, cause damage to us.
Yeah.
It's the true thing. A lot of people probably cannot fight right now because they're not healthy.
Yeah.
So the two other words that I have is truth and health.
Yeah.
Because when she talked about being rooted in the word, for me, practically speaking, freedom came from combating the obstacle of not being able to really go to the word and understand the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I used to consume scripture in bits and pieces as it would serve me.
Oh, wow.
Until I found this book that helped me.
Yeah.
It's called The Story, and it's basically the Bible written chronologically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading this for the first time. I'm not a scholar in the Bible, but the moment that I actually understood the beginning, the middle, and end of scripture, I was able to now, when I open my real Bible, I know exactly what's happening when and why.
Yeah.
And I don't think there is a more crucial time for us to root ourselves in truth than now, with all the voices we have, all the advices we have, all the tips and the things we do. You said it beautifully about social media and everything else. And I just really living each day through the struggles and through the seasons where I felt like I couldn't fight, showing up and coming to work and doing whatever God had in front of me, was when I started finding a healthier path. This past year was very key in my life. I actually had some not mental, I'm talking a lot about mental health. Actually, I changed the way I talk about this term. I talk about brain health now. Because one of the things I'm doing for myself is taking care of my physical brain. Because our minds and our thoughts are actually a consequence of our physics, our physical body. And I think we're unfortunately an unhealthy people. And I would encourage everybody today to, what's the next step? How can you fight forward in your health? Because if you're not healthy, how can you fight? I think a lot of people are a step behind of fighting because they're just paralyzed. And there's just so much in that. But I think God made me a fighter, and I am like that.
I'm pretty sure that's right.
And you're Brazilian, and that's just in there.
It helps.
Anyway, but I think it's been a path of seeing light and seeing victory for sure because of God, but also because of the steps that I have taken to be healthier, you know? And
that's
you talk about this in the book so much. It's what you eat, it's exercise, it's discipline. It's loving your brain. I know we have trivialized the term mental health, depression, anxiety. I do think we're in an epidemic of it. I am very passionate about this. I'm actually studying neuropsychology, and I want to help people to understand why their lives are like the way they are, and how they can change it. Because if there's one organ in our body we can actually physically change, is our brain.
So
clear. I love that we can rewire things too, and things that we've had expectation of, or damage that's been done to us by other people or by their bad choices. And all of a sudden we feel like, well, this is just our dilemma. This is what's, this is what I'm left with. And what I love partially about Daniele is that that's not enough. Because God's called me to be whole, and he's called me to be free.
Believe that.
That's what he's spoken over me.
Amen.
Not all the people and what they've done to me, but over me. And so how then do I become a steward of that kind of a gift? And fighting is a part of that for sure. I have to find in me a depth of knowing and of understanding so that I can push my life toward the goal, which is knowing him.
Yep. Yeah.
But then I love that the goal isn't just doesn't just stop with I know him, right. but it's also to make him known.
Right.
Yeah. And so many of us are trapped, I think, in mental places mm-hmm. where we'll not only not know him, but we'll never, ever fulfill the mission of making him known.
Wow. Yeah.
Because we are trapped in brokenness, disappointment, mental unhealthy patterns.
Right.
And so today we're talking about things that matter.
Yeah, right? That's right.
You know, this isn't stuff that's like in theory. One of the things that I love that you talk about, Hannah, is that you talk so well about hearing the voice of God by knowing the voice of God.
Yeah.
And it makes me think like, you know, in today's world, if I called Kara, she knows it's me calling because it says on her phone, Shelley, when I call. But there's a day and time in the past where I used to call friends who didn't have caller ID on their phone, but they still knew it was me by my voice. They knew as soon as they said hello and I said the first word that it was me. And I just wonder, do we know God like that?
Wow.
Do we know God in such a way that when he speaks, we're definitely sure that it's him?
Yeah.
The way we do that is by relationship him and by spending time in his word. He said a lot of great stuff in here, all of which applies to whoever we are and wherever we are. But it's really hard for that to be consumed in our life if it's not a priority of our life.
If you're not committing yourself to understanding the sound of the voice, which would then be reading the truth, as you all have highlighted so beautifully, like you have to be in your word to know what his promises already are, so that when things come up and you're like, well, that's a thought that aligns with the things that he's already said about me, then at a certain point, you're like, well, now I understand that voice. And the more you spend time in that space with that voice, to your point, phone rings, no caller ID. Now all of a sudden I know, oh, that's you.
That's God calling
That's him calling. That's him speaking into that. And that takes... That takes a practice, but you have to be read first, right? Like his promises. I do believe that God is speaking real time, but the promises that are already written will help you identify that current voice.
I just think it's
a powerful thing that you unlock in the book and that you're talking about is finding that intimacy, staying in that intimacy and not forsaking the truth that exists to you.
I mean, like there's a verse in Isaiah, I have to find the pinpoint for it, but it says, I only speak in promises. I do not whisper obscurities in dark corners. And when I was in like the fight for my life, where like the fight songs originated
from. Take a laugh.
I remember somebody gave me that verse and when it felt so dark and the voice of God felt like condemnation, I remember saying, nope, you speak in promises.
That's it.
And like, so if you're in that pit right now, because I know there are people that are in that pit to know that if it is the voice of confusion and darkness and condemnation, that is not the voice of God.
It is not the voice of God.
But at the same time, like in that pit, I would go through it 1,000 times more because I fell in love with this book. And I also learned that like, wow, like this is seeking the kingdom.
That's it.
And I can spend my whole entire life doing this and still not even be able to like touch the tip of the iceberg. And it fills me more than anything I have ever tasted or seen in this world. I want people to have that. We're so hungry, but we're looking to things that were never meant to fill us, to give us satisfaction. It's all right here.
I love it.
So good.
What a great conversation. And I know for you, it's just a moment for you to just think about where God has you also where he wants to take you. And we would love to pray for you. And so I honestly would just love, I know people are in their living rooms and people are together at watch parties or whatever, but if you feel like God is speaking to you in this moment and he's saying to you, come on, follow me. I do have a path designed for your life. I'd love you just to stand up where you are. You might not can stand if you're in your car or on an airplane, but if you're somewhere that you can stand, stand as a way of saying to God, me. I see you speaking to me and I hear your voice and I want to be responsive to you. And then I'm going to ask Danielle just to pray over you in these moments. So let's pray together.
Thank you, Father. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity to be before you. And I thank you that in your beautiful, wise, abundant truth, we also find practical steps to move forward towards you, God. The path is not alone. We're not alone in this path.
Yes,
you are with us. And
thank
I
you,
just consecrate the lives of this women, the women standing right now. Whatever their fights are in these days,
yes.
I just pray, Jesus, that you will remind them every step of the way that they just need to show up.
Yeah.
And you, God, will be the one carrying them to the next day, to the next step, to the next little fight. Show them, God, the privilege of this life, the privilege and the love that you have for them by creating them. Show them that who they are, God, is the image and the likeness of you. That's who they are.
Yes,
that's
Lord.
Their identity.
Yes, Lord.
And I just pray, Lord, that they will be having eyes to see, just like Hannah said in her talk, suddenly start seeing little coincidences and little things in their path and in their days that will just encourage them to continue walking forward and fighting the good fight. Your word promise us, Lord, so many beautiful things. Healing in your word is a promise and a prize.
Yes.
Yes.
A prize that you offer to us all over scripture.
Yes.
So thank you. Let us cling to your promises.
Yes,
let us cling to the things that
you can't do it without you, God.
Will do in our lives because we're showing up and showing you our faith. That is the faith that will move all the mountains in front of us.
Yes.
I pray of all of that in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
This is a truly amazing and gifted group of women, and we're so thankful to get to have them in our house. Our prayer for you today is that you glean some encouragement and wisdom from them to keep up the fight in your own life, trusting that the story God has written for you is worth fighting for. Make sure to check out hannahbrincher.com for more from Hannah and get her new book, Fighting Forward, from your favorite bookseller. And stay tuned in with us at thegroveonline.com, where you can still catch our February Grove gathering, including this amazing conversation and the powerful worship we experienced together that night. We love you guys, and we will catch you next time on the Grove Podcast.